Sohn, begotten Gott, all praise to you, eternal Word, all praise life-giving Spirit, praise, all glory to our God,
Amen. Oh, Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Come and Pray in Us, Holy Spirit.
Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love and send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, transcendent Father, omnipresent Word, and immanent Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not Barbara. Thank you, Peter. Now, if I get clumsy about this role, just please understand. The other one is grooved in so deeply that I have to ask her, when do we do what and how long? So, welcome. Good morning and welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. The insert in your bulletin lists all the current and upcoming events. Be sure to look at both sides. They can also be found on the bulletin board in the fellowship hall and also on the website at consciousharmony.org. Please join us on Tuesday evening at 7:30 for Gurdjieff music. Get it while you can. You never know how long anything is going to last. Right now, magic happens here. If we haven't immersed ourselves in it yet, well, there's still time in this year to finish up with understanding something we may not have experienced before. There is a special insert in your bulletin today listing all the Christmas and New Year services and the special shortened Sunday schedules. We're going to have a short Sunday service on each of those days. Enrollment for work groups is now open. Work groups begin in January. Enroll online on the church website or see the bulletin board in the fellowship hall. Yoga will be canceled for this Wednesday evening. If this is your first time, Thursday at 3 p.m. we're having a memorial for Lance Truitt. For those of you who have yet not become aware of it, Lance was just this beautiful God soul, this beautiful, spiritual, humble human being who we had the good fortune to know and love for as long as we did. Lance passed away last Monday evening. So there'll be a service for him at 3 p.m. And one of the best parts of our memorial services is sharing little views that we had of Lance. And almost always what happens is a composite view that none of us had by ourselves opens up, and we begin to see a bigger being, a greater size of the being that we loved as Lance. Thursday at 3 p.m. There's another thing that I had hoped would be completed by the time we finished our pastorate here. Some time ago, a couple years ago, in fact, we had a feng shui expert come in and look over the energy flows in our church building, our physical building. And he made a number of suggestions, which your trustees have implemented, but one. And we didn't have the design we wanted yet. It hadn't come yet. And Barbara and Peter go out to a monastery in the Big Sur country of California, and there we saw the water feature we wanted, because the feng shui expert had said we needed water on the entranceway. Water is such an elemental part of consciousness and of all life on this water planet, that welcoming ourselves with water was an important part of setting up the service. So we found the design we wanted, and we sent it up to Tim Corsi, the fellow who made this beautiful stage furniture for us, and he loved the design, and he was ready to go to make it, and then he broke his arm. So we're on the on Tim's list, but right now he's making jewelry instead of furniture. If this is your first time to the Church of Conscious Harmony, please stop by the welcome table in the fellowship hall after the service if you would like more information about our church. And now it's our time to light our third Advent candle. This is the Advent Tuesday, the third Tuesday of Advent. I told you I'd do that job better. This is the third week of Advent, and it's joy that we celebrate today, joy. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing as they rejoice before you at the harvest, as people make merry when dividing spoils. For a child is born to us, a son is given us. Upon his shoulder dominion rests. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Forever Father, Prince of Peace. His dominion is vast and forever peaceful, from David's throne and over his kingdom, which he confirms and sustains by judgment and justice both now and forever. Lord our God, we praise you for your Son, Jesus Christ. He is Emmanuel, the hope of the peoples. He is the wisdom that teaches and guides us. He is the Savior of every nation. Lord God, let your blessing come upon us as we light the candles of this wreath. May the wreath and its light be a sign of Christ's promise to bring us salvation. May he come quickly and not delay. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now as we light our third candle, we have our friend Helen to help us. Let us all pray in our hearts that the light come to us personally and to our world. Thank you, Helen. And now Barbara has a message for us. Do I? Do you? Okay.
Well, I have about 4 hours worth of things to say. So I just thought, you know, we're kind of winding up here. Just thought we'll have sandwiches sent in a couple hours. Just to prepare you. Actually, you know, it's all about love. And that's what that's why we're here. That's what has brought us together. That's what's growing us. And that's what this season is about. Thomas, in his last years of active ministry, he would just say, well, really, you know, all you need to say is the truth. It's just all about love, God's love for us and our blooming in that love. And so it's Advent. Advent, I love today, went along with it. It's gloomy. Advent is a time of dark and gloom. We heard it said in Isaiah. And it is a time when we remember that, because otherwise we're so busy doing things, we don't remember how much we need the light. And, of course, we all know as practitioners that Christ did come, is coming in us, and will come again. But we have this time set aside so that we can know that a little bit more. Just know that a little bit more, how much the world needs the light, how much I need the light, how much you need the light. And it's not done until we are all light, blazing. Thomas said, the greatest test for whether or not we're complete is if we can live in unconditional love. So that's just a little meter to show you where you are. That includes presidents and neighbors, vexatious neighbors, and the whole works. So, and ourselves. So, we're not done until we're done. And every year at this time, more light comes in. And if we're aware, if we've prepared the way as John the Baptist invited us, then we're more aware of the light that actually is coming, that we can feel and sense at this Christmas time and bear it into the world. I notice if we aren't prepared for it, people tend to get a little crazy at Christmas time. I don't know if that has anything if you can relate to that at all, but that could happen in my family in days of past. There's so much light that it takes some equanimity just to bear it so that it can move into the world and into our lives. So today is Gaudete Sunday, which means rejoice. So somewhere the church fathers decided that all this gloom and preparation, it used to be a 40-day fast, just like Lent, there needed to be a little lightening up because we're doing this so that the light can come. We're preparing it for the light. So we have the pink candle today to remind us. So this is Rejoice Sunday. Now, Tim has been talking about the invisible and the big invisible. Of course, we all have the little invisible, all those little eyes, 917 or whatever, eyes that are pushing us around and our psychology and our attitudes and blah, 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 blah. Those are all invisible too, and they are also manifest in this world. But the big invisible, that is pushing us gently from the inside, from within, into blooming. That invisible presence. And that invisible presence that's pulling us, drawing us from the Omega, the big invisible of love, light, union, unity, oneness. And so we're talking about that big invisible presence, which we call love. Now, as Thomas would say, love is not emotional. And it's not sentimental. But it has our best interest at heart. It is for us. And so that is the love we're talking about that's growing us. And everybody in here can relate to that. The second thing Tim was talking about besides the invisible that I've been listening to is big ideas. Last week he said, if you're there are three ways that you can kind of see where you are. If you're talking about people, you're in the smallest part of your mind. So if we're talking about anybody, we're in the smallest part of our mind, or ourselves, I suppose. Mediocre minds talk about events, a little bit bigger scale. And then big minds, minds that are stretched that big, can talk about ideas. And big ideas are not information. They're not just another thing to be stored up there to know and memorize. They are ideas that are life-changing. They are ideas that if we combine with them, are transforming. So we've been talking about ideas for the last few weeks, and I thought I would share with you a couple of ideas or several ideas. There are three big ideas that I hope to share with you. And then as I was thinking about that, I thought of the idea of God as really real. Which, I grew up in a church, and then I was atheist for many years. I just blew off God and religion and all of that. I thought I was better than that. And I met Tim Cook, and I asked him one night, do you believe in God? He said, no. It's an experience, and he shared the whole story with me. And the God he was talking about that he felt and combined with and was uplifting him was love. And it combined with people. It was a big idea. Do you suppose God is really real? And so I went home that night and I sat up all night combining with that. Thinking about it, thinking what I knew about people who believed in God, people who were religious, how they were different from all my friends and all of that, and really struggled with that, what I'd been taught, what I picked up, what the religious people were like, all night long until in the morning I woke up, I didn't wake up, I was awake, I had this experience of God as love, presence and love. And from that moment on, my life entirely changed direction. That isn't the big idea I want to talk about, but that's really a fundamentally big idea. And everyone here probably has had a conversion experience of some kind. And if you haven't, ask for one. Because it's available for everybody to be in that kind of living experience. But the three big ideas that I wanted to talk about today were from Bernadette Roberts. And I hope they're huge ideas. They had a huge impact on my life. And I hope that if they are of any use to you, you'll take them home and struggle with them or combine with them. And the first big idea, we hadn't seen Bernadette in several years, like 7 years, and she was at St. Austin's on the campus doing a workshop, a 3-day workshop, and we were there. And she was doing a presentation called Christian Mysticism. And I had never heard that before. And one of the first things she said, which I thought was very, very interesting, she said, if you're not a mystic, then you're not really yet a Christian. Because Christianity is about being transformed into Christ, which is mystical. So, again, for those of you who are doing a centering prayer practice, you don't have to worry about that. You are. You are. But I thought that was interesting. I thought that was interesting. And the second thing she said that I thought was so interesting, so big, that's not the big idea yet. She said, anybody who wants God can have him. Now that is all inclusive. It includes Hindus, Muslims, black, white, male, female, dumb, ignorant, PhDs, presidents, trash collectors. It doesn't matter. Anybody who wants God can have him. Now therein lies a little rub. What do we want? Because we're always getting what we want. If we want God, God would love to pour himself into us. Would love to give us everything. But we're free will creatures, so we have to want that. But I love that. It was such an inclusive statement. I've never heard such an inclusive statement. The big ideas were, she said, now some people, when they get on the journey, they begin to feel like there is this pool of mysticism and that it's all the same. Because the mystical language is not our ordinary day-to-day language. So when we hear words that are mystically enlivening or real, it is a whole different step into the mystery. And she said, I am just here to say, and I'm not saying, she said, that there is a pool of mysticism, but if there was such a thing, it would depend on how long your straw is as to what you get out of there. And that simple little idea was so huge for me, because I was just beginning to bump up against, we'll say, the bottom of unity consciousness. And it was all beginning to look the same. And it was kind of murky, and it was all kind of, you know, there's the kind of mysticism that you get from being, devoting your life to writing or painting or singing or acting or conjugal marriage, Thomas says, or whatever religious path you're on. And it started to look all kind of the same to me. And as soon as she said it, it was like dropping clear into that pool, which doesn't exist. But dropping clear into it, and all of a sudden I could see. It was so useful. It's a big idea. And then here I'm just going to take a little break. I just want to thank God especially for my beloved Tim Cook, who has this sense, this intuition, this calling. He's pretty much single-minded about God, but this really deep sense of long straws and big ideas. I'm afraid I would be sitting on the street curb, you know, if it wasn't for Tim. I don't have that sense or even a desire to look for ideas particularly. I recognize them after a while, but I'm so grateful to have Tim in my life. And as soon as she said that, I saw, I know a couple of real long straws, Bernadette Roberts and Father Thomas Keating. These are people that don't just talk about God, life, love, blah, 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 blah. They have given their whole lives. They have put it on, and they're wearing it. You know, it's not talk. Talk is cheap. And so I was thankful, and thankful for Tim for his love of God and big ideas and the sensitivity to see a good long straw. So that really did clear up my path and gave me a sense of direction. The second really big idea, and they're so simple, but, you know, isn't God very simple? Second really big idea that I'd like to pass on if anybody's interested in putting it in their pocket. She said, once you are in God, and I would say almost everybody here, I can't say, but I would say 99, we'll say everybody. If you're in this church, you're probably in God, or you wouldn't be here. If you're doing centering prayer, you're in God. You've consented to that presence. Once you're in God, she said, you're always in God. So it doesn't make any difference if you want to drag your feet and do whatever or jump in, whether it looks, you know, whether it looks like we're going through the purification and we don't feel like we're in God. Remember, God is in the feeling. Once you're in God, you are in God. Period. That's not the big idea. But she said, you could take to get home, and where is home? Right here. To get home, you can take the long cut if you want. You can do it your way. I don't know about you, but I'm beginning to find that myself is not the best guide. But you can do it that way, and you'll go through, you know, whatever life lessons, and you'll forget, and you'll remember, and you'll forget, and you'll remember, and you'll... And where are you? And you're always in God. So, you know, when you remember, God is there. You know, so you're like, oh, yeah. So you, and then you'll end up home. She says, or you can take the shortcut through the brambles. And where is God? He's right there. It could be a little bloody. A little difficult, but you're in God. You cannot be separate from God. Or, she said, you can ask for the beam. This is the best discerning tool I've ever heard. So the beam. The beam is the direct way. That's God's will for you, what God sees, how to get you home directly. When she said that, it was a big aha for me, because we have experienced the beam. In praying wholeheartedly for God's will to manifest in our life, for us to do what God saw for us to do, and really wanting and asking for that. We even threw in the caveats, that's when we were going in ministerial school, we even threw in the caveats, it could be in the ghetto of New York City or in a small town in Iowa, neither of which our personalities really wanted. But we just wanted to say we're in God. And what came out was Austin. And God made sure that we knew it was Austin. He wouldn't let our denseness keep us from knowing that. And so what I got was, when we're asking for God's will or the beam, it could be really great. As a matter of fact, it probably will be, because God's much more generous than we are. One. Two, he's first force. I say he, but God is first force and not me. So he's drawing us. When second force happens, and for those of you who are not in the work, whenever we take any step, there's going to be resistance, because that's just how life operates. For work students, you know, when your first force happens, there's going to be resistance, second force. Because God is also third force, you just kind of zip through all of that. It's a very affectatious way to move through life. But whether you take the long cut or the shortcut through the brambles, you're always in God. But you could ask for the beam. Father, your will. Yeah. And we don't know. It's a mystery, so we don't know what it's going to look like. And of course, we don't trust God's generosity so well sometimes. But anyway, that is the second big notion, the beam. And the third is Christ. And you know that Bernadette felt like she was here to share the real Christ with us, like we've all gotten off track into kind of worshiping Jesus, which Jesus didn't want us to do anyway. But anyway, so Christ. And I had a harder time getting this. It took me maybe 30 years, 28. She used to say, and she still, first time I heard it was that Christian mysticism. She used to say, and she had a circle drawn on a board, and she used to say, okay, so God is the uncreated. So she would draw a line through the circle. God is uncreated, and down here below the line is his creation. She said, Jesus had to be born in the Jewish faith because if he would have been born anyplace else, he would have just been another God, and he wouldn't have had the significance to our lives. So she said, in the Jewish faith, there is this line that separates God, the uncreated, from his creation, and it can't be crossed. So when Jesus was born through his birth, life, passion, death, resurrection, can't ever forget the resurrection, and his ascension, Thomas put it this way, he went into the heart of God. Where is the heart of God? Everywhere. It's right here, it's everywhere. So Christ burst into all creation. So then she says that line that divided now becomes the line that unites. So in God, and remember she always used to call God what God is, not who God is. What God is, the uncreated, is eternally united with what we are. Not who. What. And what we are, she said, is our human essence. And that is where we are all exactly the same. Our human essence. Remember Paul said there's no male or female. Where our essence is eternally united with what God is through Christ. That is a really big idea. So what is eternally? That means right now, past, future, everything that we could construe as time. But now, in this here now moment, we are, our essence is eternally united with God's essence. It's a big idea. It's not information. It's something that you might want to be with, to take home, to ponder, to get with, to see what it means to you in these bodies at this time. So what it means for me is right now I am eternally united with God. Anyway. It's something to ponder. So this has been an amazing experiment. We started here 30 years ago. Willing to do a 5-year experiment to see if there were people who really could make God the center of their lives instead of Christians, not just people, but people who wanted to be transformed in Christ. We didn't have any idea exactly what that meant. Transformed into Christ, and that's the evolution that we're being called to. And it doesn't matter if we're Christians or not, we're all being called into that universal consciousness that is love. That doesn't have any others, but sees everyone as God's children. And this is a time, it feels like to me, that it's really necessary on a global level, as well as our lives. So this has been a great experiment. Yeah, it has been. We've gotten to grow by staying in one place, and I see so many of you growing and unfolding in God, and it's just it's been beautiful. So I just thought I would take a moment and just tell you what we're going to do, because people ask one by one, and just we are going to do nothing. Well, that's not exactly true. We're going to do nothing on purpose. So what we're going to do is take a year off to listen deeply to God. And Thomas Keating, I've told several of you this, but Thomas said, well, he says, if you are retired, you ought to be spending at least 2 hours a day in prayer. And so it took me a while for that to sink in. I don't know about you, but I'm a little dense. And so I thought, oh, we're going to be retired. Well, I know what we're going to do. We're going to pray for 2 hours every day. So we will be with you in prayer and in the silence every day. And then we're going to try to really not busy ourselves up, but really just be as intent as we can to deep listening. And I know God is really good at making his way known, so we'll trust that too. And so you think about retiring, you think, oh, I'm going to kick back and play golf and go all here and there. But no, we're just stepping back from an active ministry to a more receptive ministry, a receptive listening. Because I don't know about you, but I plan to take God up on his offer to be transformed into Christ in this life. And I can see he's got some more work to do. And I loved Ilya. It really helped me see maybe I won't make that total transformation. I don't know what it looks like. But I'm going to give it my all. And everything that we do toward that is participating in the whole Christogenic evolution. So whatever we can contribute, we're contributing to the coming of the light. And we'll be doing that together because, oh my God, we're so one. People say, well, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like not to have this physical heart connection. But I trust that God is working in you, and I know God is working because he gave us Peter, who is perfect. I mean, if you had to write something down, it would be Peter. He loves God, number one. I mean, you cannot beat that. A love for God, and that's been since childhood. He does contemplative prayer, he does centering prayer, understands it, and he does the work of inner Christianity. Those, to me, are his credentials. And then he's got all sorts of other things. So he sent us, Peter, all of us, to continue our growth and unfoldment. And I know it's just going to be perfect for all of us. And there may be some second force, but we have all the tools. We've been given everything. In this particular experiment, we have the work, one leg, a way to scathingly see what's really going on here. We have centering prayer, which God is filling us up and growing us in love. We have the body of Christ, which is you, that's growing. We have everything and the Eucharist. And so we have everything. And as Thomas says, don't worry about whether or not you're qualified, because, you know, we all have those little demons in there and say, well, surely not me. I don't know. He says, everybody is overqualified. Everybody is overqualified. All we have to do is say yes. So I'd like to close with a reading from today's liturgy, and this is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. No? Oh, they can hear it again.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. It's so fun. In Lexio, we listen to it at least four times. So this is the letter of first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, and we'll just say to the Austonians, we'll just say to the people of the Church of Conscious Harmony, to God's people. And Paul was about ready to leave. He was about ready to be arrested and called to Rome to pay for his whatever, to pay with his life for more light. And so he was writing to his colleagues, his buddies in Thessalonia. Sisters and brothers, let us listen with the ear of the heart. Sisters and brothers, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Test everything. Retain what is good. Refrain from every kind of evil. May the God of peace make you perfectly whole. And may you entirely, spirit, soul, and body, be preserved blameless for the coming of Christ our Lord, the one who calls you is faithful. And he will also accomplish it. This is the word of the Lord. So let us stand and sing.
The choir will be singing the special music today. It is a piece in Latin. So I'm going to give you the translation of the text. O Nata Lux, O born of light, Jesus, Redeemer of the world, mercifully deem worthy and accept the praises and prayers of your supplicants. Thou who once deigned to be clothed in flesh for the sake of the lost ones, grant us to be made members of your holy body.
Thank you.
And now with hearts made quiet, open, and full, with the spirit that moves from ancient times through the music that speaks eternity, with hearts open, bodies supported by the chairs upon which we sit, and a willingness to hear deeply. We hear the word of God expressed through St. Paul. Be cheerful, no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God, no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you, who belong to Christ Jesus, to live. Don't suppress the Spirit, and don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what is good. Throw out anything tainted with evil. May God Himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole. Put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master, Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. We rest in his promise as we open to his infinite spirit in silent prayer. In peace, let us join together in prayer, family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, it's going to take a genius to get these baskets out of here today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go. You do this.
As we prepare to share our tithes and offerings with the church that holds us while we grow, let us take a moment and just lift our hearts to God, who is supplying us with everything, even our very lives, nanosecond to nanosecond, and everything that we need for this journey from the head to the heart, to the being. So we take our tithes and offerings and we remember that God's love has always met and will always meet all our needs. In remembering that, we give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed we are to remember God. You say it. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully, and we are blessed. Amen. We dedicate and consecrate these tithes and love offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lie that we are separate and are useless, acting out from fear. In Christ. Amen. As we prepare to receive the Eucharist, let's just take a moment and remember that God, who is loving us and growing us, is feeding us, particularly in so many ways. In the silence, we are being fed and grown. In community of the faithful, we are being fed and grown as we watch each other grow and stand by each other. In the Scriptures, we are being fed the living Word. And in the Eucharist, we are being fed literally, Christ feeding Christ in us. And as you remember, Bernadette said, after I die, if you want to know where I am, if you want to meet me, I'll be in the Eucharist. So as we prepare to receive the Eucharist today, we also see Bernadette, our beloved witness to the possibility of man, and Lance, our beloved.
Let's join together in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your spirit on these elements so that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Please join us in our communion song, Kyrie Eleison.
Christ, have mercy.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ, for the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Well, let us stand and sing Amazing Grace out of our hearts. Thank you.
found that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was
we thank you in this particular dark and gloomy time on Rejoice Sunday for reminding us how much you love us and how we cannot be separate from you, and then inviting us to take the beam. What a guy.